Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been to the grand opening of a store or a restaurant or a hotel? If you have, you probably know it's kind of a fun event. They might have a band playing. Sometimes there's balloons everywhere, maybe cake for folks to have, maybe some speeches. Those aren't always that fun, but maybe even the mayor of the town shows up if it's a big enough place opening, and then sometimes some activities for kids, and then the cutting of the red ribbon. It's pretty common to do it up big for the grand opening of something, isn't it? Well, that's kind of why I think God did things the way he did at the Pentecost event 10 days after Jesus' ascension. You see, this was, in a manner of speaking, the grand opening of his New Testament church. From here on out, the doors were open for business, and the apostles were to be busy carrying out the mission with which Christ had commissioned them for, that of discipling all nations. And so, to let the people know that there was something new in town, he did it up big also. Instead of getting one of those big rotating searchlights to draw people in, God came down to his commissioned apostles with the sound of a rushing wind. It was so loud and strange that it drew Jewish pilgrims who were visiting there in Jerusalem to converge upon the house where the apostles were all gathered. And once there, much to their amazement and their bewilderment, they each heard this group of Galilean, uneducated, working class men speaking the wonders of God in their own regional languages. But why did this happen? Why did the Holy Spirit give them the ability to speak in these foreign languages? I know what most folks say. Most folks say that this happened so that all the different people who had come there from all these different places could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed and could thus believe in him. They say that this was the miracle that reversed the course or the curse of Babel that enabled the disciples to carry out Christ's commission of discipling all nations. For after all, how can you disciple all nations if all nations can't understand what you're saying to them? That all seems rather logical. But I don't think it's correct. For you see, while the apostles could not usually communicate with all these Jewish pilgrims who were visiting Jerusalem in their own native regional languages, they could always speak to them in Aramaic, a language shared by almost all Jews at the time. Or they could have spoken to them in Greek, language that was common among almost everyone of the Mediterranean world. And thus, if the objective was simply to preach the good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, to let them know that their Messiah had come and that his name was Jesus, they could have done that just as well in Aramaic or in Greek, and still have gotten the message out with one fell swoop. But you see, this wasn't just about preaching a message. This was about starting Christ's church. This is about starting a movement, kicking off a mission, lighting a fire. The Holy Spirit wanted to start things off with a bang. And thus, he did things up big. He had a grand opening for Jesus' church so that everyone would know and that the word would quickly spread. There was something new in town, something that folks needed to come and see. Grand openings are supposed to be a big deal. It's how we let people know that things have changed. There's something new going on here. That's why I always love it when people make a big deal of baptisms. I love it when family and friends all come in from a variety of places to be together to witness the baptism of this newborn child. And they take pictures. And they have a special cake made and a family meal. And they maybe put the baby in a special outfit they bought, or maybe in a family heirloom outfit that generation after generation has worn. I love it because they're treating the baptism as if it's a grand opening. As well they and we should. For in and through baptism, there is a grand opening of that child's heart to God. In the same way that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost poured himself out upon the apostles and filled them from within with a faith in Jesus Christ that clung to him as their Lord and Savior, their Savior from sin. So God, the Holy Spirit, through baptism, pours himself out upon that child and fills that child from within with a faith that clings to Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin. Through the water and the word of holy baptism, the Holy Spirit washes us of our sin. And he creates in us a faith which binds us to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And thus, through that sacred act, we go from enemy of God to child of God. You and I are God's children. We have been forgiven of all of our sin because the Holy Spirit washed us, each of our sin, as we were baptized into God's family. And that's, like I said, it's right that we should make a big deal out of baptism. For most of us, our baptism was our Pentecost. It was the time when we were first filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, I know that sometimes we don't feel very filled with the Spirit. And we certainly don't always act like we are filled with the Spirit. The indwelling of God's Holy Spirit does not mean that suddenly we become immune to temptation or resilient to sin. Not at all. In fact, oftentimes, you and I both know, it's quite the opposite. To enter into a faith relationship with Jesus is to enter into a battle with Satan. One in which we will not always fare so well. We will fall. And we will fail. And we will falter. And sometimes when we are really struggling, we won't feel forgiven. And we won't feel saved. But don't be fooled by those feelings. That's Satan talking, not God. In those moments of doubt and fear, remember your baptism. Remember your Pentecost event. Remember that you have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit does live in you. And you are most certainly saved. To God be the glory. For the sake and for the sacrifice of His Son Jesus. Amen.